This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spengel. With us is our other host, Greg Lenz.
Hello, everyone.
Back from sunny South
Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's right. All right.
About 110 degrees.
Palm Beach, Florida of the West.
Yeah. All kinds of ocean around there.
What were you doing out there?
A work trip.
You don't mind asking.
No, I don't mind asking. Just setting up a new company and had to go out there and do some training and get things going.
Good. Anything you want to plug, or is it business to business?
In a couple months, I probably will plug it, but
okay.
It would be for your mortgage needs.
Well, I'm sorry. The need has passed. You will not be able to plug shamelessly.
All right, fine.
So, our dear, 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 dear friend, Creighton, has passed on to Washington, D.C., so he won't be joining us in person for the summer. He's living the high life out in Washington, D.C.
I will be stunned if he ever steps foot back in Indiana again.
He'll never be back to Indiana ever again.
He'll forget his family. He'll have a creation myth and just totally leave everyone behind.
he's interning with Students for Liberty. And speaking of interns, joining us tonight is my intern at the Englehart Group, where I work, Suzanne Schaefer. How are you doing, Suzanne?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I told her that she had to say that or else she'd get a failing grade.
You have false. Total immunity while on the show. So anything you want to get out about Spengel, just let's have it.
Don't worry. I'm going to slip him in there, though. He won't know. He won't know it's coming.
Suzanne has interned for the last 2 weeks, and I have learned quickly that she's not afraid to speak her mind.
Ah.
So she's very, very opinionated. She's like a calmer, more female version of Maya. So she got started on Cops today, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Oh, yeah. No.
Rightly so. Righteous anger.
She might have had some action, police action today. So
might have been pulled over.
What yeah. for?
I turned left where I should not have turned left.
At 190 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's okay.
And then she got yelled at by the cops.
Yeah.
Screamed at, more like.
Did you get a ticket?
I did. Oh. I did get a ticket, and I was very upset about it. He was such a jerk. That's a nice way of putting it. That's the nice way.
Should we add him on air?
No, we've already got back channels working on it. So you don't build networks if you can't get friends out of tickets, right? Right, Greg?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it always comes down to why do you have to be jerks? You know, she did exactly what my wife did and got yelled at by another police officer. I'm trying to find a safe spot to pull over so you're safe when you get out of your car. So I'm trying to find a good spot to stop. And it may take me a little bit longer, but I'm going to make sure that you're okay even though you're about to give me a $300 ticket.
It was literally, I was trying to pull into a parking lot that I swear was 20 feet away. And we were on a bridge and, you know, downtown streets that are narrow.
There's nowhere good to stop down there.
And the guy just started freaking out at me like, you weren't going to stop. You were just going to keep driving, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm like, dude,
that
clearly
works.
Pulling over here. I'm not going to try to race you through the streets of downtown Indianapolis.
OJ Schaefer's on the show today.
Yes.
So if we have any Brothers in Blue listening,
you guys are jerks.
Don't shoot
now,
us.
No, not now. Listen, you.
I'm sorry. I know we already talked about this.
Getting all started up
Except
again.
Except that Sheriff but Rogers up in South Bend. He's
yeah,
a good one. He's
you,
a good
you,
one.
You don't yeah. help your image with the public when you go and yell at people. So
you're already yeah. taking our money. You can just leave it at that.
I pay right. your salary. I do what I want.
Did you whip that out? I pay you, mister. Mister, I'm going to have your badge.
No.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Suzanne. Where from whence do you come? What are you studying? What school do you go to? Are you involved politically? What's your story?
Okay. Well, Chris, I was born in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're going that far back, so just give
Buckle
me a minute.
Buckle up. It's going to be a two-hour podcast.
No.
Well, I guess we won't watch Pacers tonight.
But I went to school in Fishers, Indiana, so I've lived there for about 10 years. Went to Hamilton Southeastern.
Which, for our international and national listeners, but not you Canadians, Fishers is about a half hour north of downtown Indianapolis.
Thank you. Yes. And now I go to IU, Indiana University, Bloomington.
I don't believe you go there because Greg offered you a beer before the podcast and you said no.
I know.
So I don't believe you're an IU student.
You almost let me commit a crime.
I know.
No, I'm just so responsible.
I know. It's true.
I'll be driving later.
Me too.
IU has a very well-known reputation for debauchery and other.
Yeah.
And times. Hard liberalism.
And terrible, terrible, horrible liberalism, which we'll ask Suzanne about later.
Yes.
So you are at IU Bloomington. Are you politically active?
I am politically active. Bloomington has a Young Americans for Liberty chapter there, which I am a part of. I'm the director of communications currently.
So you know Creighton then?
I have met Creighton. I'm not well acquainted with him.
Okay.
But we've...
Lucky.
I'm sure I will be, though. We go to the same conferences, and we're in the same, you know, he's obviously involved with Young Americans for Liberty and Students for Liberty and all that. So.
Oh, I said he was interning at Students
for
Liberty.
Yeah, Young Americans. I was going to correct you on that.
Same diff.
They all love Liberty.
So, just for Creighton's sake, not affiliated with this podcast.
As any way, shape, or form.
So, yes.
Sorry, we have the gardeners, or apparently they said, hey, Chris, what time are you doing your podcast? Well, we're doing it on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Okay, we'll have the gardeners outside blowing the leaves.
And by gardeners, he means he lives on a plantation and has many, many staff that take care of the grounds.
Good job, Patel. So what is it like to be a young American for Liberty? What are some of the things that you do in your college outreach group?
Well, we meet every week, and we plan different events, activism events, and we have the national organization that sends out different activism events each month. Like, there was the Generation of War and things like that, so we usually do that activism, and sometimes we come up with our own ideas, and we just go out on campus and set up a table and try to reach people, get people signed up on the emailing lists.
A lot of pot rallies?
A lot of pot rallies. Actually, we have not had a pot rally.
Wow.
We have
Your group hasn't had a pot rally.
Our specific group. We've thought about doing something like baked sales, things. Catching my drift here.
Greg lives in Broad Ripple. He knows exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, I'm one of the boring people that doesn't do that, but lies. I am around it a lot.
This is his favorite part of the podcast.
Oh, that's...
So. So how did you become a libertarian?
I became a libertarian through research on my own time. I was a Republican, I guess, when I was younger. My parents were Republican, and I always just kind of figured that's what I was. Never was a fan of Democrats, and...
Good.
Yeah. We hate them.
Bastards.
Yep.
I gotta say... Yeah. Okay. So
they're greasy and dirty, and they don't work ever.
She walked in and saw a Democrat on the TV on CNN and just started shouting obscenity. She's like, "No, turn that off."
Didn't happen. Actually, happened in my head though. Very intuitive.
I know. I could see it in your face.
So I just started researching, looking into it. Literally, Google searched political ideologies because I just knew that there had to be something that was better than these two parties because. The Republican Party wasn't doing it for me either, and I actually came to the Wikipedia page for libertarian, and it just kind of went from there, and I started reading and getting more involved with it, so it just kind of happened, I guess, and it came out of my ability to reason.
And what age were you?
14, I would say, is when it...
Wow, that's impressive.
Isn't that impressive?
That is really impressive.
And I will give you a compliment, even though you so clearly have already learned how to bust my balls, as you can tell by the beginning of this podcast. She's, for a 19-year-old, she's very quick. She's very sharp. But she doesn't know who John Candy is, and she called Coldplay classic rock the other day, so...
Oh, okay, I now know who John Candy is, and I knew that Coldplay wasn't actually classic rock. I told you, I know they're not classic, but to me, Coldplay is classic. I love Coldplay, everybody.
It was the first time I had ever felt old. I was like, you don't know who John Candy is, because she bears a striking resemblance to...
Kat Dennings.
Kat Denning from Two Broke Girls.
Huh.
Oh. You know, two broke girls.
Yeah, I know Kat Dennings.
So, almost identical. No. And so, yeah, she said, so who do you look like? And I took my glasses off and I said, John Candy. And I look almost exactly like John Candy.
I was going to say John Mark Carr.
And she just gets this look on her face like, okay, cool.
Isn't cool he story, no longer...
I really didn't know about John
no
Candy.
Longer, he's not he's alive dead. Anymore.
He passed when... away a year after she was born.
Okay, so...
Did he really? We're that old?
Yes, we're that old.
What am I
old.
Supposed wow. to do? What am I...
Yeah, no, I get it. I just didn't realize we were that old.
I know. It's shocking.
Just two almost like, 30-somethings.
Here's this young adult sitting here, and she's like, yeah, it was. I remember thinking... I was crushed when John Candy died.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like in late elementary school, and he was my hero, and she's like... Just born with. So that's my impression
that's
of Suzanne.
That's also my voice, yeah. Just like that.
Exactly. And also, a particular author played an important role in your belief system, correct? Anne Ayn Rand?
I suppose I am a bit of an Ayn Rand fan.
Me too.
I have to say, she.
I'm a Randroid.
The woman is brilliant. A Randroid.
Yep,
I love it.
I am a Randroid. That's what initially... shape me towards libertarianism.
That sounds like
too.
Something horrible that you'd be pronounced with if you went to the doctor.
I think it's going to be what Rand Paul supporters get called. I really think they're going to be called that.
Oh,
Creighton, not even here to defend your boy.
Oh, I know. It's going to be, he better have a good summer.
Oh, yeah, he better.
So, Creighton's going to Skype in or Google Hangout in with us occasionally. So, especially when there's hot, breaking Rand Paul news.
Oh, yeah. He'll be our special Rand Paul correspondent in D.C. What?
Rand Paul is sort of, he's becoming a controversial figure in the libertarian movement. I mean, what are your thoughts on Rand Paul?
You know, I don't dislike Rand Paul. I do appreciate what he's done. As far as the filibuster went, I was a big fan of what he was doing there. That was really cool to see somebody using that right to defend our liberties.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he does care about the a lot of the liberty principles. And his father is Ron Paul, which I have to say, Ayn Rand. And then there's Ron Paul, who I love.
We were in the office and we were looking through photos from the Advocates for Self-Government, and there's a photo of Ron Paul taking the world's smallest political quiz, and she did this.
Aw, Ron Paul.
Like every
you got to, though. He's just so great, and he's just standing there taking the quiz.
He's just so precious.
Ron Paul is you know what? That is what no guy wants to be called precious ever.
I'm sorry, Ron.
But he's
you
old,
are...
so you're good.
It's okay. He does not listen to this podcast.
No.
We have tens and tens of listeners currently tuned in.
But yeah, Ron Paul... I do not agree with everything. Obviously, he's a little too much of a politician, I think. And this is what you and I were talking about the one day. One of the things that I appreciate so much about Ron Paul is he's just absolutely unashamed about speaking the truth, speaking his beliefs, and not playing into the game of everything. And I think that's one of the big questions about Ron Paul is he playing the game? What is he really doing? I think a lot of it is kind of still unclear at this point. And
Creighton makes the argument that, well, he's just saying these things and phrasing them in a way to get everybody on his side. And he's using, you know, at the end of the day, he's reading Rothbard on the floor. And it's like, well, you're kind of arguing that he's essentially telling half-truths to the evangelicals to get their support to gain power. And isn't that kind of what we're... what a lot of us are against?
No, because you know? That's what Ronald Reagan did, is he courted the socially conservative wing of the Republican Party and then ignored them for 8 years. It's
fairly true.
And yeah. I have no problem with that. I mean, if you can build a coalition and win to beat Democrats all day.
The question is, what then makes you different from the other politicians if you're, you know, telling half-truths to get certain votes and things like that? You know, you might be doing it for a cause that we support, but you're still doing it. And that's a lot of the issues that people have with him.
And even if he's doing it for our team, it doesn't mean that I have to like it.
No, you shouldn't like it. I mean, especially because you, I know for sure, are not a GOP fan at all.
Not a bit. No.
You very much dislike the GOP.
I would probably... I find the Republican establishment so distasteful that I'd probably be a Democrat if I were forced to choose.
No.
Wow.
Not because I like their policies, just out of pure spite. I mean, you can't relate to that.
I cannot relate to that if it's compared with the Democrat Party. If I have to choose between the two, I'm going Republican. It's happening.
I like to punish Republicans.
I'm sorry.
I really do.
You have this, this schadenfreude towards Republicans.
I really enjoy their
misery.
After 10 years of watching them just lie through their teeth, hear one thing in the back, and then see them say a different thing on the front, and you're just like, really, you guys?
Is it because you expected more from them?
Yes, I'm very disappointed in them. But part of it is just that the majority, and I'm not talking about, if you're a Republican that listens to this, I'm not talking about you.
No.
You're just supporting the wrong people. I'm talking about the people who lead the party.
The bundlers and the...
And the politicians and the local generally assemblymen and legislators and the lobbyists, the political class. And when you hear them in the back, when you're a reporter or later on just in the room, you hear them say one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And what they believe in one instance or what some other guy in the circle believes. You know, Representative X believes this, but he supports this because he has to market it to the 75-year-old woman in the straw hat with the buttons.
Like Mike Young being all about small government and cutting taxes, and then, how about this big speedway guarantee?
Right, let's go ahead and give $100 million of taxpayer money to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Let's make Mary Holman rich.
Right.
I will say, after the 2012 election and... Obviously, John McCain, does he even count as a Republican at this point?
No.
But after all those things that have happened, I definitely dislike the Republican Party more than I did this time, maybe last year.
I like some of the young ones.
Come to the dark side.
I like Rand, and I love Justin Amash. He's my favorite by far.
Yeah.
He's only a Republican because he's... Hell, I don't know. He wanted to be able to get into office.
I like Ted Cruz more than I like Rand Paul at this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I just know that, like, I just, for whatever reason, Rand Paul is just rubbing me the wrong way. It's like because I thought he was on our team, and then, like, the drug war stuff, it's like, you know, I know Creighton's just, that's why we're talking about it, because Creighton's not here, and he's going to listen, and he's just going to scream. And
oh, right now, his head would be exploding.
But, you know... Ted Cruz, I know he's saying all the right things, and then as soon as a Republican is elected office, he's going to break my heart.
See, I don't know about him, because he just came out today and bashed the GOP. He said he doesn't trust him on the debt hike that's coming up in a couple months.
Yeah, but you get close to midterm elections, and hey there, I really need your support, Ted. We're both Texans. All right, I guess I'll vote for prescription Part D.
See, he's benefited from not having to go up on any social issues. So's Rand.
Yep.
There's been nothing presented that could be a problem for the socially conservative base. So if any kind of legislation like that pops up, that'll be the litmus test for those guys.
They're picking the right spots right now because they can. Canadians, how do you feel about Canada?
How do I feel about
Canada?
Choose
your words carefully.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I feel nothing towards Canada. I have no opinion on Canada. Thank you.
It's almost as if they don't exist at all.
It is exactly. Almost as if they are irrelevant. Would you?
Oh!
You.
Full-time raise.
Yep. Guess raise. What? Creighton can't come back. She wins.
She's on. She is on.
No, it's actually much more, it's much more sinister than that. A 98% of their population lives along the American border.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
They just wish that they could be American.
No, it's strategy.
No, it is
invasion.
Invasion.
You know, I wouldn't put it past the Canadians to try and invade.
Soon, all of your Vermont maple syrup will be replaced with Canadian maple syrup, and your children will be eating faux bacon.
And they have that French influence, which
never good. Oh, we can't even talk about that.
They're not really British. They're not really Americans. They're not really French.
I mean, but honestly, Quebec wants to break away, and how bad of a country are you when you want to leave them to go to France, to be part of France? That is sad.
I don't know. I'm sort of...
Is it that they want to be part of France?
Well, I mean, they want to be more true to their French. They want to be independent, but they're still going to keep the French culture and heritage and
culture, it's a nice culture.
No.
Canada is so smug that they just named it Newfoundland.
Yep.
To rub it in everybody's faces so everybody knew that the first spot was in the Newfoundland. It's like, you know what, guys?
What do you even have?
Really?
Toronto's south of Detroit.
Have you ever had Canadian food?
Oh, it's awful.
No. No, you haven't.
I've been there. I went there once.
Is Canadian bacon actually Canadian?
No. It's ham.
It's like skim milk.
Hey, I drink skim milk.
Jeez, don't listen. My. Don't get her started on cops and health. She gave me a whole lecture the other day about eating bacon wrapped hot dogs and not exercising.
Oh, this did not happen.
So, well, this is radio.
You what about bourbon and cigarettes? The Don Draper died. Is that a bad thing?
In moderation, everything in moderation. You want to have a cigarette with a bourbon one night.
No, I mean before noon.
I certainly do.
I mean after the Monday morning staff
meeting.
She does
meeting. Go to IU, you know.
Oh, that's true.
It's like bourbon and
relax
cigarettes.
With my cigars in the evening.
She did used to be a Republican, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
All right, maybe 20 minutes in, we should actually start talking about something. What do you guys think? All right, well, let's move on to James Rosen, and let's move on to some of the press spying a little bit. I mean, this is to me, when we talked last week, I don't know where you're at, Greg, but when we talked last week, this to me, the spying on the press was the biggest of the three scandals. Creighton and I think Maya thought that the IRS was the bigger scandal. But you know, this to me just is really, I think it's all the same scandal.
Oh yeah.
When you really get down to it, you look at James Rosen. And James Rosen is guilty of a couple things. He is a Fox News reporter. He's a national security.
Here comes the GOP bashing, like I told you.
No, it's not going to get that bad. I'm going to bash him as a reporter. There was an interesting article in Reuters by Jack Schaefer. Hey, maybe an uncle. and so he was talking. The title is "What Was James Rosen Thinking?" And he goes through the reporting process of James Rosen, the national security Fox News reporter. And he was covering this story, which, in the end, really, what was the point of the story? It was about North Korea,
doing a third nuclear launch test.
Right.
In this line of succession, like nothing. Everyone knew it all.
Yeah, and so Rosen is tracking down this, he's using a source, Stephen Jin-Woo Kim, who worked at the State Department, and he goes into Kim's office, and then he leaves. 2 minutes later, Kim leaves his office. They go outside. They go to an undetermined location, and then like Kim comes back, and then 2 minutes later he comes back, and like people are clearly watching this take place.
Oh yeah,
because we know the story now. It's like an awkward. It's like the Mile High Club for spying on your country or something.
Knock three times,
and then. Like, they have, this is my favorite part of the story. They talk about their secret code, okay? They have a secret code, and they have outlined the secret code to each other in an email. Uh-huh. To Kim's State Department email, okay? So, one asterisk means...
Which is completely private.
Right. One asterisk means to contact them or previously suggested plans for communication or to proceed. Two asterisk means the opposite. It's like, all right, you're calling him on his State Department phone line, emailing him at his State Department email. They have recordings of all of that. Uh-huh. They have pulled every email. What are you doing? Dude.
I know.
Come on.
And it's sad, though, because... Rosen is like a historian of Nixon and Watergate trivia.
Right.
So like he is already probably built up this whole obscene deep throat thing in his head about how he's exposing secrets that Kim Jong-un is going to succeed as dad as the head of the North Korean or head of the Democratic Republic of North Korea.
Right.
Come
on. And he's, you know, CIA has sources inside North Korea privy to its future plans. It was about the UN was going to pass some sanctions, and it was talking about how North Korea would react to it and talking about what the internal spies are saying in North Korea, which like, who cares? Why even put that story out there? It's not like, we're in imminent danger here. You just sort of put the story out for no real reason. And I'm sure that things got pretty testy in North Korea, and they started looking for who those internal North Korean sources were. It alerted them that they had spies. Like, it's just dumb.
It wasn't even like a leak. Like, it was so well known, it couldn't even be like this, oh, wow, we just found out something that the government's trying to hide that his son was going to succeed him and that they possibly might test another missile.
Right.
I mean, now the guy, he's got a trial, the State Department guy, Kim, he's got a trial in 2014 and they're trying him under the Espionage Act.
Right.
Which is
What was the point of leaking the information for the story that really meant nothing? Like, the whole thing is just bizarre and weird. And you're seeing the behind the curtain of how journalists work. You build sources. And the troubling part of this is that they're trying to say that James Rosen committed a crime by having the discussion.
Yeah.
Not typically the way that the Supreme Court rules is that if you print the information, that can be the crime, or that's the thing, you know. And he didn't print any of the information, but
he's a reporter,
right? So he's just having it's the guy who is leaking who is, you know.
Listen, he committed the crime.
We love leaks. We like WikiLeaks. We like whistleblowers. You know, we will talk about one of the weird actions of one of the Benghazi whistleblowers right now. And so that's because the government is breaking the law and someone needs to speak out. What is the point here?
If we let them, they would classify every email, document, phone call as a national security threat. Sure. If we weren't outraged. And heck, most of the time we're not outraged.
We'll get there.
Oh, yeah, we will definitely get there. That's already happening.
Yeah.
So they, you know, the James Rosen story, you know, they tapped his phone. They tapped his parents' phone. I think it's you know, he's not going to jail for doing his job, but maybe he should because he did it poorly.
Well,
you just want him imprisoned because he's
maybe he wasn't the smartest journalist out there. I do think there's a little bit of an argument to be made about the principle of the thing. You know, had he been more intelligent, had he gone around about it better, or had the topic, the leak, actually been significant, then this would be more controversial and there'd be a little meatier, a little better to talk about. But I mean, I think you can always look at, regardless of how intelligent somebody is, what they're actually doing, what is the government doing, and, you know, treating everybody equally in the eyes of the law. So, I don't know.
I don't like how, I was reading, and only in the history of the United States until President Obama have three journalists been tried under the Espionage Act as conspirators.
Mm-hmm.
Under this administration, it is now five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, two more than in the history of the United States. And I think it's because he hates leaks. He thinks they're coming out of everywhere. He wants to shut down on them. And he is not a fan of whistleblowers either.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that just reiterates my point, I think, is that regardless of if the leak was that significant, it's clear that the administration doesn't like that sort of action. And I think that action is necessary, like the WikiLeaks and Pentagon Papers.
Honestly, I mean, I don't know about espionage. I don't think Kim was committing espionage, but he clearly was doing something wrong by leaking information about North Korea that led to the publication that we have sources inside North Korea, which leads to a crackdown, which makes it harder to get information. And I know Maya and Maya hates any kind of that espionage stuff, but these are the laws. This is the way the world is right now. And the fact is that Kim broke the law and should be punished.
Oh, he should be punished. You know? And he'll be tried under the Espionage Act, and he should be for leaking and getting caught. But I think it's crazy for him, for Rosen to be named as a conspirator. That is sinister.
Yeah. I mean, it makes an enemy out of someone who is protected by the First Amendment.
Yep.
For doing their job, no matter how poorly.
And this one isn't nearly as bad as the AP. The AP is a big deal.
Yeah. So, let's briefly touch on CBS, because the CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson came out and said that a person or persons unknown had compromised both her home and office computers. And here's what she said to Politico. I can confirm that an intrusion of my computers has been under some investigation on my end for some months, but I'm not prepared to make an allegation against any specific entity today, as I've been patient and methodical about this matter. I need to check with my attorney and CBS to get the recommendations before we go public. And she thinks there could be some relationship between what happened to her and Rosen. And she has been reporting on Fast and Furious and Benghazi, and she is an investigative reporter for CBS News National. So she feels that she's been compromised.
You're being targeted. If you are against any administration in the modern era, you're either going to be audited, you're going to be spied on, something's going to happen to you.
And let me tell you what happened to antiwar.com. Tell us briefly, touch on what happened with the AP as well.
With the AP last year on the anniversary of Osama bin Laden's death, there was a flight.
Hypothetical death.
Yeah, There was a flight from Yemen to the United States, and the CIA was able to stop a bomb. And they were leaked. The AP was leaked the information, and they were going to run the story, but they wanted to first clear it with the State Department and with the proper authorities. And they, both times, the government asked them to delay it 2 days. Well, then finally, on the third day, they're like, hey, we're just going to run it. It's passed. But the reason they were stopped was the president was going to give a speech saying that the war on terror, there was no imminent threat. And they were saying they were going to release a formal statement, but it wasn't that. It was a campaign speech because it was last fall where he was going to say, we're safer than we've been, blah, 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 blah. There's no imminent threat from Al-Qaeda. And so the AP ran the story anyway, and they were really angry with him. And so what they wanted to do was find out who the leak was. So they pulled five, they tapped the phones, and then they did five email, they essentially just confiscated and spied on all the email of five different AP reporters. And the CEO of the AP was livid on TV earlier this week. He couldn't believe it. I mean, AP's had free run forever. And so mm-hmm. for them to be even questioned, because they're a fact-based organization. They don't provide analysis.
Yeah.
That's why he was livid.
Someone like Fox News is opinion-based.
Yeah.
That's irrefutable.
Yeah.
And here's the bad part. They're clearly saying that leaks all over the place, leaks, sources, whistleblowing, it's drying up across the board. Because why would you want to?
Yeah, they won't talk
you
now.
At all.
Mm-mm. And that's the kind of stuff that you joke about, you know, when you're with your friends, whatever, like make jokes about the government and, oh, you know, they're probably listening in and ha ha, nobody believes that, but ha ha, it's true, it's happening. And I'm just hoping that this helps, I don't know, wake some people up and convinces them that the government really, really isn't immune to human nature, which is going to cheat and lie and steal your phone records.
Let me ask you a question, Suzanne. Why are you interning with the Engelhardt Group and the Advocates for Self-Government? What are you doing here? Why did you ask yourself to come to our podcast today? What are your intentions, Missy? What are your intentions?
I don't feel that I want to disclose that information.
Of course.
You freaking terrorist. No, I disagree with you, Chris, on
shocking.
Things drying up. If not, they're drying up for the mainstream sources, for AP. Everybody's going underground. They're finding, you know, not WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is kind of still faltering, but they're finding places like WikiLeaks and everything else. I mean, look at all the DefCat people turning to Pirate Bay to mm-hmm. host their info. Everyone's going underground, and the problem is that underground stuff has a lot less traffic. And then you never know who gets picked up by, shared by, and then it's not as credible. So I guess it is kind of drying up, but I don't think it's drying up as much as we would necessarily think. It's just through mainstream sources.
Yeah, it's a black market of information now.
The government sources are going to be the ones more hesitant to right. probably dry up. Now, like the other sources, I think... Oh.
Because if you know of the government doing something that is illegal, that it is breaking its own laws, or it is... Oh, I don't know, murdering people overseas, necessarily.
American citizens.
And then you happen to, you know, let's say you have information that four American citizens have been killed by the American government in a drone program, and you want to give that information because you think it's important that the people know what their government is doing, and how do you get in touch with the reporter? You can't use email. You can't call anybody on the phone. I mean, they're sign language smoke signals.
Yeah.
They're probably monitoring smoke signals too.
So. I wonder though, I think we'll see more traditional though. We'll see letters, that type of thing.
Morse code.
No, I mean, you can write a letter. I mean, now granted, yeah. The post office still can.
The post office, you know, the one that's run by the federal government.
Yeah. Actually, so that's probably your best bet. Everything will get through.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's like a ransom attack on
Paul
Congress.
Revere.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. You're just going to have to go. You know, you don't want to go visit CBS headquarters because you might get caught.
Oh, you're going to be on video for sure.
The drone, there's video cameras everywhere in New York City, for instance. And it's just impossible to do the right thing because when you disagree with the government, then you become an enemy of the state.
Yep.
So antiwar.com, this story is a little bit older. This is the Bush administration. This is not the Obama administration, but it just shows you how long things have been going on and how similar these two administrations are. On Tuesday at the United States District Court, Northern District of California, both Garris and Raimondo of antiwar.com, that's their last names, filed a suit, And according to the suit, the ACLU has made several futile attempts to obtain the FBI files since a reader alerted the antiwar.com team to this lengthy FBI memo in 2011. It's a 94-page document, and it's made clear in the documents, the FBI has files on Garris and Raimondo, and at one point the FBI, writing on April 30th, 2004, in a memo, antiwar.com recommends further monitoring of the website in the form of opening a preliminary investigation to determine if blank are engaging in or have engaged in activities which constitute a threat to national security. So think of the time of 2004 and what might have been taking place at that time, and antiwar.com was considered a threat to national security because they were anti-war. Right. So... I just think it's funny.
You can't trust pacifists, though. You never know. You never
right.
know.
Right. You never can trust people.
They're not pacifists.
Oh, it's anti-war. I'm sorry. They're NAP followers. They're not pacifists.
Not necessarily, but they're against war, an unjust war, which all war is unjust. So
all war is a crime.
Potatoes, potatoes. Pacifist, pacifist.
I'm against war.
Then why are you you committing a war on my eyes with that outfit? Meow.
All
right.
What was that?
I don't know.
Chris tries so hard sometimes.
Whoa. There is a large black thing next to my face.
I'll beat your knees off.
Beat my knees off. You keep doing that in my place.
Getting out his large black thing. Right, oh, is that inappropriate?
Everybody just be quiet for a second. Your face is racist.
The clever jokes come out the podcast.
Oh, it gets inappropriate from time to time. Oh, God. Especially when Gina's here. That's the worst.
Oh my God, Gina's filthy.
Oh.
So mention why you're talking about anti-war.
Do you know those guys?
I don't know them, but I know of them.
I didn't know if they're like, because you're friends with the cop blog guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, I thought I said why. Is that it's the same thing.
No, but I mean, it's been popping up on my feed too.
Right.
Is it just because it's being recycled up, or is the court case new?
They just filed the court case Tuesday. I said that.
Okay. I'm not paying attention. Sorry.
So, again, you see that the more things change, the more they kind of stay the same. I mean, if you are speaking out against the government's going to investigate you.
But at least Dick Cheney and George W. Bush were honest about it. They didn't say, we're the administration of transparency and we're going to be held accountable. They were like, no, they're bad guys. If your rights are infringed, they're infringed. But they didn't make any qualms about
it. The hypocrisy of the Obama administration. Let's talk about that, honestly. That just boggles my mind.
Well, that's boundless. But there's also the hypocrisy of the Bush administration saying that they care or they're of good government.
Conservatism.
Compassionate conservatism. What yep. the heck? That's impossible. That's a horrible play on words. Now, you got to think back. Look at the Japanese. We rounded up and put in camps. They weren't against the government. They look like people that were against the government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got the Russians. You've got the communists. You've got Germans.
So what you're saying is at least they're getting better at finding out who they should hate.
No, we're just paying less attention to it.
Right.
As a whole.
Right.
This is shocking and big. This actually is nothing compared to what we've done to people almost 100 years ago. Really?
So let's talk about. All right. So we've talked a little bit about national security, and you know they're using the national security excuse to go after everybody. And by the way, Suzanne, if you want to talk on this podcast, you just have to we haven't mentioned this to you yet, but you just have to start talking and interrupt.
Okay.
So
and carry that over to work. So anytime Chris is like in the middle of a conversation and he's wrong. Make sure you do it in front of his bosses.
Yeah, you apparently have been watching The Office the last 2 weeks because she's like, actually, no.
Wait, is that me again?
Yeah, that's how
she's the smartass you were talking about the other day.
Yeah, that's the smartass.
Oh, I'm the
host.
Smartass. Thank you. That was such a compliment.
I love how you imitated her, though, as a valley girl.
Yeah.
You went from Kat
that's
Dennings
what, no, that's
to
what he does
girl.
At the office, too. Like, he'll tell me, I'm going to imitate you now. And then he'll, like,
does
oh, my
he
God,
preface
I'm like
it
a
with
girl.
That? Does he
no, he does.
Wow.
He does preface
that. I'm like,
it.
I'm going to make fun of you now. So,
and I don't even talk like that.
What are you
like,
talking
geez.
About? So, I hate cops. They're all pigs.
The term is assholes.
There are no Valley girls that are libertarians, I can assure you.
No, probably not.
No.
No.
Not
I like,
one.
Like peace and
peace.
Stuff.
Maybe no, I shouldn't. Maybe libertarian girls, that's probably the closest thing we have.
She just looks like a Valley girl. I think
she's
libertarian
smart.
Girls smart.
Yeah.
Libertarian girls generally are smart girls.
Like, yeah, there's not dumb libertarians that I've encountered.
Other than
why are you being sexist about it? Most libertarians aren't dumb. Not most libertarians.
That's
girls.
Not true.
Okay.
I've met some really dumb libertarian guys.
Because you can't say that, because look at Julie Borowski or whatever the hell her name is.
She's smart.
She's not smart.
Yes,
she's
she
a
is.
A libertarian S.
Oh, I will fight you in the face.
Oh.
I will fight you. She...
You know what? I'll give you the ass, and then we'll fight. You can have the big, long,
I want
hard,
the
black stick.
I want the gun. You can have the stick. Don't play with the gun. Put the gun... You took the bullets out. That's not a gun.
I've been meaning to ask you though. You know,
now that you've taken the bullets out, it's long. It's a long gun, but it's not as long as the asp. What are you going to ask, Greg?
How are you dealing with Julie's? She got married this weekend. I'm not sure if you were aware, and I know that you have.
I have a platonic brain crush on Julie Borkowski.
Oh, a platonic brain crush.
Right,
okay. And by platonic, I mean that room that's back there is a shrine.
Okay, wait. So, what is this brain crush?
I just think that Julie Borkowski is smart and valuable to the libertarian movement, and Maya doesn't, because Maya hates everyone who is not Maya.
She's not a libertarian.
Yes, she is.
She's a libertarian-leaning conservative.
Whatever. Why are we arguing about this? What have you done
to
done to my podcast here?
Let's... Social jihad just happened.
I know.
Allah Akbar! No, wait. All of me!
Yeah. All of Maya.
Social terrorism is just exhausting for everybody but Maya. Like, you were... Joe messaged me, and Joe Ruiz is like, why is Maya being mean to me? I don't know. I get a message from Michael Smith today. Why is Maya being mean to me? I don't know. Why? I got another person. There's three people in the last 24 hours who have messaged me like, Maya's being so mean to me on Facebook. I'm like, social terrorism is wearing me out. I feel like George Bush.
You're like, you are her talent agent, so you get all the contact on anything
Facebook
negative.
Is her Guantanamo, where she's got everybody captured.
You've been getting calls about me for the past 2 years now.
That is true. Oh, man. So many stories to tell. So let's get back on track. Sorry to our buddy Samantha, who hates it when we get off track. She listens every Wednesday and then
Luganville?
I don't know how to say it.
Samantha W.
Well, Canadian?
No, she's not Canadian.
All right, then we're good.
She's from Georgia.
You ignorant white man.
Yes. You racist. See, you know, I can't believe he hates the GOP. Look how well he'd fit in.
I know.
I wasn't making
with
fun.
Your white privilege.
Yeah, if the name's not WASP.
No, I
can't
even joke about
it.
That. I did not say that.
Yeah, Fisher's doesn't get much more conservative than that.
I
can't stand the word privilege.
I like how you're making fun of white people.
Okay.
The reason I hired her as an intern is I finally found someone paler than me.
Wow.
I'm pretty pale, and
true.
You're a male, so
you
that just makes you like the worst kind.
Wow.
I'm a minority. You're a white guy.
She does have pretty skin, and I have the color skin of ham, so I'm very ham colored. Listen,
I don't see color, Chris. I don't know what you're talking about.
As a ham colored,
I don't value people by the color of their skin.
As a ham colored American, I would like to be treated with respect. lots of people are getting audited.
Lots of people are getting audited for very small things.
It's true. Glenn Beck got audited.
Yep.
Pat Gray, his on-air sidekick, got audited.
O'Reilly gets audited. He's been like audited every year since like 96.
I totally would audit him. See how much he's writing off loofahs.
I just want to hear his late night drunk voicemails to women. They're fantastic.
Oh, O'Reilly. Pat Gray and Stu, both of his on-air, Glenn Beck's on-air people got audited. The editor of The Blaze got audited. Franklin Graham's organization got audited.
Did it really?
James Dobson's organization got almost denied. It took several really excruciating months to get their 501c4. There really seems that, you know, scrutiny of a 501c4, and that basically is a nonprofit political organization that does education. Okay, that's basically what it means. You don't give to candidates, but you can educate about candidates. About issues. You have to stick to issues. You can't get into the political realm. I don't have a problem with the IRS wanting to scrutinize those organizations to make sure that they really are going to meet the criteria of our complicated and weird tax code. But if you're going to do that, do it. Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
To all organizations.
Right. They only did it to the conservative, basically anybody who is anti-Obama or could be considered anti-Obama. That's who they did it for.
Graham?
And the Billy Graham Evangelicalist organization, whatever it is.
Oh, now he's made God mad.
He's pissed off God. So why did you breathe a heavy sigh when I was outlining following the law?
Oh, okay. Well, when you started off and you say, I don't have a problem with the IRS, that's like the first thing I hear.
I didn't say I don't have a problem with the IRS.
Well, I know, and you continued, but that just...
Right.
I mean, I guess with... Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do you love the government?
Pass a law.
Yeah.
No, but I think with the IRS as it exists today is kind of like what you're talking about. You don't have a problem with them scrutinizing things like that, whatever. I have a problem with the IRS existing, period.
Well,
absolutely.
Course.
I think that one of the reasons why this is such a big deal is not even so much that they're auditing these specific targeted people. Of course they're doing that. Like, I don't know why this is remotely surprising to anybody at all.
It's been going on for a while.
It is only logical. Like, it is only natural that, of course, the government is going to look to scrutinize the people that are advocating against them, you know?
Right.
But I think one of the bigger issues, even beyond that, is the fact that the IRS has the power to do that in the first place. And this is getting a lot more big picture, you know, but I think that the IRS is an extremely dangerous institution and potentially, and is accumulating more and more power and potentially has, you know, the ability to really destroy they can obviously ruin people's lives like that, you know?
It is basically, if you cannot force someone because they've done nothing criminal, they haven't done anything criminal, it's the tool that the government can use to bankrupt mm-hmm. you.
And and it's the tool that the government does use. You know, like I've seen a recent political cartoon that I just posted was the IRS climbing out of the Trojan horse. Did any of you guys see that? They are the secret weapon of the government because they can go in and that's, I mean,
and
dare I mention
healthcare.
Obamacare? Yeah, I was just about to say that is essentially the IRS is the secret weapon of Obamacare. Like that's how they got it through. That's how it's constitutional.
Right.
Is the IRS. And
you could so pare that organization down to like under
like one or two nerds.
Honestly, mm-hmm. because if you had a flat tax, you know, if you wanted to go that route and then noted, I know it's not ideal, but it might be politically feasible. So fair tax is great. I'm a big fan, but I'm thinking as far
got
as
all its albums.
As far as the flat tax goes, everyone would be able to fill out their tax form on a postcard and send it back in. It's so easy. It's simple to do. And then you wouldn't have the things like Apple, Tim Cook getting hauled up to Capitol Hill this week. And they're saying it's un-American that you pay less than 2% in taxes.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, no, it's not. You guys designed the tax system.
Right.
And Maya just showed me the stat. It takes 74,000 pages of computer paper in order to explain the complexity of the tax code, right?
It's just short of 74,000 to explain a tax code. And it's absurd because it's an income tax. They're taxing labor. They're taxing motivation. They're taxing hard work. So that makes sense. But no, I agree with you when you say Trojan horse because it's that you can control behavior. You can control mm-hmm. everything. Blue laws and everything. Half are backed up by taxes. Look at the tax on cigarettes, on gas, on everything else. They can control the American populace mm-hmm. with taxes.
Now taxes curb behavior.
Now they're going to... because they have access to your financial life currently. Now they're going to have access to your
health records,
to your body. And it's going to be the IRS and your doctor and you.
Wait till it comes to the point where they say, when things get bad with Obamacare and it runs over budget like it always does, wait till they get to the point where they say, all right, does he qualify for this procedure? Or does he get the less expensive one? Because how much did he pay in taxes last year? How much does he owe?
Oh, absolutely.
It may get to, I mean, that's way down the road, but it may get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It is the healthcare combined with the IRS is the worst situation imaginable.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just another tool for the government to, I mean, getting back to targeting, it's just another tool just like the FBI to use. And that's why, just bringing this up now, I'm skeptical when Obama says that he doesn't have a clue, because, you know, the reporter, like what you said earlier, the reporter that was interviewing him or something then got audited. Like,
right.
So, I mean, to me, that just looks like he didn't like the guy, so he's going to, hey, go audit this guy. And then, oh, no, I had no idea that all these basically libertarian groups are being audited. Of course he does. Obama hates libertarians. I'll just say that for him. He can't be here today. Like, you know, he hates them. And,
oh,
and
he does.
He'll do, I mean, and like those quotes that he's spewing out, like what he said at the Ohio commencement, like people are going to try to tell you that we don't, whatever. Like, we should read that again.
Yeah, he said, don't, you know, like don't listen to that like those calls that of tyranny. Of
and then all this tyranny is happening.
IRS in Cincinnati.
And he's like, oh, you shouldn't worry about that. That's not really happening.
I wish I lived in your world where the government actually acknowledged the existence of libertarians.
Well,
they're going after tea parties and conservative groups.
Yeah, but
they're going
after Adam Kokesh. They're going after
as tax code and everything else, because there's a lot of libertarian organizations out there that do just fine and haven't been audited. But I really wished the libertarians and the Libertarian Party were an actual big target of the government. That means they actually acknowledge their existence.
One day.
If things keep growing, they will be, for sure.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about President Obama's detachment a little bit, because you've got Benghazi, which... Okay, you're telling me that your ambassador is in Benghazi, he is under attack, and your CIA director makes one phone call, they talk for a few minutes, and then he hangs up and goes to bed?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go down to the Situation Room. We knew he was there. He was at the White House. It was 9/11. He wasn't out with Beyonce that day. Would have looked inappropriate. So, what are you just going to bed for?
He was doing homework with Sasha and Malia, and he's an engaged father. You can't hurt him for that.
That's haven't you the seen media. The parenting propaganda? Yeah. Be a good dad.
That's right. So, put work second, even if it means people are going to die.
Yeah, and no one will be held responsible.
I know. So... What I outlined last week, which Creighton said there's no evidence to this whatsoever, so why are you saying it's irresponsible, but yet I will probably end up being proved correct. The CIA is running guns to Syria, to the Syrian opposition.
Through that embassy,
and he was in charge of it.
That's fact. That's not... I mean, and it hasn't been proved yet, but that is for sure. That's why they hit it.
There was a reporter that... And I forget where it was, but there was a reporter that tweeted out today that there is another scandal brewing that has... advisors to the president crapping their pants.
I know I was going to get shit for this. I'm sorry.
Are you drinking, like, soy juice?
We'll get to her in a minute.
Sorry.
That's
like liberal.
It's got the CIA. There's another CIA scandal coming down the pike, and it's making all the advisors nervous. Well, that's the one. And if you want to talk about the one that's going to get him impeached, it's illegally running guns to...
Oh, yeah.
You know, to the Al-Qaeda that just happens to be against the other Al-Qaeda.
They'll never impeach Obama.
Oh, no.
They'll get there.
He's running guns to Mexico. We need to impeach him over that. Holder's still there.
I know.
His approval rating is still insanely high.
When do you think anyone's ever going to get impeached? Oh, Bush lied outright, saying we knew there were things over there. We knew they had mustard gas, of course, or chemical or weapons of mass destruction, which we knew they had anyways because we gave it to them. But they'll continue thinking in somehow fairy tale land where nothing ever has happened before.
There's no accountability at all. And all that happens is you just keep eroding trust in government. But because... you can buy votes now. You can buy votes, and you can stay in power. His approval rating's at 53%, the same place it was 4 weeks ago. And it isn't going down. It isn't moving.
Obama can get away with murder, literally.
Every president can. Bush lied. The president killed an American.
But do you not think that the outlook towards Obama is even like to a new level of just awe about him,
the press have turned.
I mean, maybe it's just the circle that I'm in. Maybe it's because I'm at Bloomington and I'm surrounded by a bunch of teenage liberal hippie types that just worship the guy. And I'm like, do you not see what he's doing? And why, like, is it because he, I mean, also on Tumblr, just seeing things that people say about him, like, oh, Obama's got swag and they, like, ship him and Michelle, like,
He's the one of the lately in the past couple decades, the first presidential candidate to specifically target the younger generation, yeah. And like he did.
And he did a great job.
So that he it's an infatuation. It's like people don't care about the actresses and singers they love. They don't care how crap they are. They just love them, and they
he's a celebrity, and that's what they want. It's hero worship. Almost like they want a royal family.
Well, I mean,
and
Kennedy.
That's what the Obamas are. Is the yeah, and
Kennedy didn't
a
pass
comparison.
Like a major law. His biggest thing was the messing up of the Bay of Pigs. I mean, that's his major achievement, and it was a mess up, but he is beloved and talked about as one of the great
presidents.
I think what
happens with Obama is it's all starting to erode a little bit, and you have people like Chris Matthews who are pointing out what I've thought for a long time. The guy he's not interested in passing legislation anymore. He's not interested in leading the bureaucracy anymore. He's not interested in diplomacy anymore. He is basically just interested in going out and campaigning and raising money and building OFA, and that's all he really does. What does he do except go out and speak to a crowd of a couple thousand people in Ohio?
He's trying
every
to get
days.
A third term. Going.
He's always though. He's always been a domestic president. He ran as a domestic president. That is what he is, and I think he's so livid that he doesn't have the environment he can get his domestic agenda through that he almost is just like not interested. He considers it just, look what happened to me. You know, look what the world put on me. I could have been great. I could have been FDR.
He's all about Obama. Obama loves Obama. And he clearly doesn't. I mean, I've always held the idea that he doesn't actually care about America whatsoever. Let's be honest. What has he done ever that has benefited anybody?
I think he does care about social justice, though, and implementing that through the institutions of the U.S. government.
If it makes him look good.
I think he loves alcohol.
Really?
I think what you're going to, when you really read the amount of crap that you and I read, and I'm amazed you haven't heard of this, there's starting to swirl on the internet that he is enjoying a few too many beers in the evening.
Yeah.
And that once this presidency is over, there's going to be a few allegations about how the reason he's detached is that he's drinking a little too much.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I felt like that was piling on when I came across that.
Half our elected politicians are borderline alcoholics. Really?
Yeah, but they're not president.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, why do we keep making the president like some big important person?
Because they made the president some big important person. It wasn't, and they meaning everybody but libertarians. Well, don't tell this audience to stop making the president important.
Well, they all do, but that's what we keep talking about. When he's just a peon.
I mean, we've called him an alcoholic murderer in this podcast.
Think of how big the government is. Think of how many organizations and how many different things there are. You know, people like Holder, they had their little stooges because he's a stooge of Obama. Right. So then you have Holder, the big stooge. He has a whole bunch of medium-sized stooges. They have a whole bunch of smaller stooges, and they never tell each other anything because they want plausible deniability. They throw down basic broad orders, say, hey, we need crap like this to happen. The medium-sized stooges tell their small stooges, we need this to happen specifically like this, and bam, done. Plausible deniability everywhere. Nobody knows anything. Nobody tells the president until it's too late because they're afraid to. Bam, done.
Sounds like Ayn Rand, where no one wants to take responsibility for anything, and they're like, but I don't want to know how you do it, so that way I can be in the clear.
That's government. There. Yeah.
I just have to say...
The damn looters.
Have to say that I'm loving Obama's plan to shrink a government. He's just reading the New York Times and firing low-level staffers. So
well, and apparently having a few... And I guarantee it's craft beer. There's no way it's Bud Light or anything like that. It's probably something like... Very, very obscure.
It's European.
He's got Al Qaeda in the basement brewing him homebrew beer specifically for him.
I think we just exposed we might win a Pulitzer for this podcast.
Biggest conspiracy ever. Al Qaeda's in the White House basement. Remember that room they were talking about, the extra room they're building? And they were doing all that digging construction? They were building a giant brew center for Obama, and they're funding it with Al Qaeda people.
Why did you just ruin my podcast?
No, it might be like a satellite Betty Ford office if things develop this way.
I think the whole presidency is just exactly like Scandal. Like, I think if you watch ABC Scandal, just that's all. That's like fact. It's just exactly how it is.
Why do we have government in the first place? Let's go back to that.
Exactly right. I'm with Suzanne.
I mean, I'm amazed at how trustful people still are and how insistent they are that this is necessary and that these people are doing these things for the good of you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, really, guys? Like, this is a person just like you're a person. You know that you suck. And why do you think that these people are different?
I mean, there's four people in here and we're all incredibly irresponsible.
I don't speak for me, Chris.
I sure...
You're irresponsible.
You're here. You're on this podcast. That shows a great lack of...
Responsibility doesn't get you on here.
I mean, I would never, ever, 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 ever let Maya make any decision for me ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
You've taken my advice before.
I know,
have you not?
But I would never want
and it
you to
out
force.
Extremely well, right?
I know I would never want you to force your decisions on me. So why would I have? Why would I want an agent to do your bidding for you? Why would I want?
Because they have bigger guns than you.
That's right. Well, you have bigger guns than me.
It's the nature of power, and that's what I was also talking to you about earlier with cops. Why they're so corrupt, and that's essentially why the government is corrupt. And this is my own personal theory. It's that power. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
That's
so
right.
I think that's the problem. You get people together, you say, you know, here, have some power, and then you give them your money, and what do you expect to happen?
I mean, when you're sitting there, in, how did you feel today when you were sitting with the cop behind you?
Oh my gosh. I was absolutely livid because I was thinking, okay, here I am. I'm a person. He's a person. In my mind, we're on the same level. Nobody inherently is above me for, you know, the badge you wear, which, by the way, he wasn't even in uniform. But
bastard.
Yeah.
You got pulled over by...
Well, he was in a cop car, but he was in shorts and a t-shirt, literally runs over to my window, just starts yelling at me. And so I'm in my head thinking... How is it that this person is able to do this to me? And like my automatic reaction is, you know, I want to yell back. Like that's what
I do.
I'm
his lights on.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
But
yeah.
He didn't have his uniform. You should have screamed rape. Like, I didn't know he didn't have his all. He didn't have his uniform.
I
thought he was
door.
Trying to rape
that,
me.
That I locked my door and I unrolled my window like an inch.
That went real weird there for a minute, Greg.
Well, I'm trying to get out of it.
But I just...
That's your strategy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cop pulls me up, rape. Haven't you ever seen Kevin Spacey in American Beauty?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when his boss is like, I'm going to say that you came out to me. Goes down the rabbit. Works perfectly. You're free salary.
Actually, not that funny, though, because that unfortunately happens. Cops rape people.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They're rapists.
You really are like Maya. So, well, anyway, so you're sitting there and you feel... That was a joke, buddy.
They do!
They do. Let me pull up my police brutality tag on my blog.
How many cops have been hit with child porn and child molestation just recently? All over the place.
And they use traffic violations. That's how they get you. That was a rolling stop. Here, let me molest you. You know?
I've got to edit this out.
See, everybody laughed at me when I said, yell rape. Everybody's building a case now.
You know why I gave you weird looks? Because... You're promoting the whole false rape agenda thing that a lot of feminists push to attack men. You don't push that. You're helping out the feminazis.
Only cops. Not against men.
And if anybody has a problem, I'll just have to send you the links of proof to what I'm saying here.
All right. So you're sitting there and you are on the same plane as this person.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, in my mind, this guy is not some... moral, superior authority, whatever. He's just another person. But I was sitting there and I realized when he went back to the cop car to run my license, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, wow, I actually can't get out of my car. I actually can't drive away. I actually can, but really shouldn't scream at the guy like I want to. And I just felt so helpless in that moment. And anybody that knows me well, like I don't do well with being talked down to and being put as a place like inferior to somebody else. It pushes a button within me that just releases the beast within the rage. Like I thought wow, I felt violent. I felt like I wanted to cry. Like I was just upset, you know, because right. it was just so unjust. And it is that feeling of being powerless. And now this is a little thing like in the grand scheme of things. Like I got pulled over for you know, making a wrong turn. Okay. But you have to think about that in the grander sense. Like, yes, this is happening now, but think about how that's happened in the past, you know, with government, like forcing itself onto other people, declaring itself the authority and then oppressing. And this is just a little daily example of how you can run into it in your daily life. And that's what, and I was telling Chris again, like, it's not so much what happened, it's the principle of the thing. It's the entire concept.
But that's exactly right. I mean, you're taking it down to exactly where we need to view it, on the individual level. Because anything beyond the individual is an abstraction. The government is just individuals.
Yeah.
You know, if that is just another individual who works for the collective, essentially, you know, and where does he get his power from? Well, ultimately, it comes down to the voter electing politicians. I mean, it just, the more you think about where that police officer derives his power, he gets it from his sergeant, who gets it from his captain, who gets it from the mayor, who gets it, it's just abstract.
Oh yeah.
When it really comes down to it, is we're all just individuals interacting with each other, and the more we try to look at it from a government perspective, I don't know, I'm not making sense.
No, but you are. It's that it's, you're making it so far removed, it's not personal. It's right. Impersonal.
But that's the thing too, is that it's gotten so out of hand that there really is nothing that any, like, that you can do.
And there's nowhere to go.
And yeah, right. Like, I was just sitting there, I was like, wow, like, literally nothing I can do. I can't change the entire police system, which desperately needs to be changed. And
try to get a politician to go out and talk about that, or talk about offender reentry. I have a friend who, his daughter died in the hands of a private prison system company, and the private prison system company is in charge of healthcare, and to make profit for their shareholders, they cut back on medical supplies. So to give their shareholders more profit, they stopped doing their jobs, essentially, and they don't do it effectively. And this poor young lady ended up dead because of it, and she'd never been in trouble, and she ended up dying. So he's not getting anywhere with the politicians, because the politicians don't want to go up against the lobbyists that these people can hire, because there's billions of dollars at stake. And you can't sue, because as he and I have been trying to contact lawyers around town, well, we're pro prison system, we're pro cops, we're pro the judicial system. You're a lawyer.
Yep.
You're not pro. You're not.
What
supposed
happened to the liberal idealism of the '60s?
You're supposed
lawyers?
To be. And
seriously.
So
the
it's,
civil rights attorneys.
It's not malpractice. It's not. So what you have to do is you have to go to do a 1983 civil action. It's a civil rights violation, and there's like two attorneys in town that do it. And it's going to be so expensive that there will be no justice for it. Because you can't get any reform through the political system. You can't get any reform through the justice system. You'd love to not have to sue them for money. But money is the only language that these people speak, essentially. So, well, Maya, what is your suggestion?
Well, I have lots of suggestions. Be very careful
because the FBI is listening.
I'm not going to say what some of my suggestions are, but it sounds like you're saying that incrementalism isn't going to work. I think that's what both of you just said, is that incrementalism
so,
is a flawed idea.
Well, this will be the final We Are Libertarians here this week.
I didn't say that.
No, so, it's not about that. You can always educate and inform and grow people and your community. Now,
no,
my
I'm
suggestion
saying,
is not going through courts or anything else. Well, actually, one thing you can do to really change the court system is never take a plea. To every speeding ticket, every parking ticket, every single last one of them, and it's been proven to work. Take them to court. Go film the police.
Yeah, but in Suzanne's situation, if she wants to take this to court, it's a very bad idea. Because
Why? If
she takes it to court, you end up opening up a can of worms, and they are going to listen to the police officer. If he shows up and he says, "No, I told the truth in the ticket that I wrote out,"
no.
Okay, sorry.
Then they're gonna have me audited.
Then you're gonna be audited.
You go in and you're probably gonna pay the ticket. just be expected to pay the ticket a little bit more for some court costs.
But they're good guys. They give you a diversion program so you don't get any points on your fake license.
No, but that's what you do. That's the idea of never take a plea. There's a website, nevertakeaplea.com. You never take one. And actually, we've talked to some lawyers in town that want to get their new guys, their first years and stuff, working on court cases to flood the lower courts with frivolous, stupid crap that the tickets, the fines, the fees, if you take all that to court, it clogs it up, shuts it down, and they stop doing it. The best way to change a law is to fully enforce it.
I think it's to pass a law.
No, seriously, the best way to change a law is to fully enforce it. Because, think about it, there's what? Thousands upon, there's what I posted today, there's like 4,700 federal laws that were just new.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fully enforced the five felonies everyone commits every day, there wouldn't be any more laws because everyone would see it and they would hate it and they wouldn't want to do it anymore.
Right. Like here in Indianapolis, it's illegal to sell your car, put a for sale sign in your car, in your driveway, and you can't privately sell your car. You can't spit on the sidewalk. You can't
buy a Tesla in North Carolina.
Right.
You can't use Airbnb. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-uh.
Where you can rent out your rooms in New York City? You can't do that anymore. That's banned there because the hotels didn't like
There's
it.
I mean,
there are laws everywhere.
A great book called Technically That's Illegal from our friend Ann Satterlee. She's on the Indiana Talks Network, and she does a show and runs a website. There's a podcast out there on it, and wrote a book where she just started going through every law in Marion, Indiana, and wrote out all the ridiculously stupid laws that are still on the books from 100 years ago. And she was on John Stossel, too. So if you look up Stossel, Technically That's Illegal, you'll see a little bit about it. And it's just the criminalization of everything. So basically, we're screwed.
No, we're not. There's hope.
No, I do think...
No hope. I give up.
No, stop.
This will be the final.
If... Me, the misanthrope, the morbid, evil, vile misanthrope sitting here talking has hope, and you don't,
you're not,
that means you're mentally brain dead or retarded.
You're not evil.
The problem is the mentality of the people, though.
Sinister.
And that's what gets me down, and that's what I think, I mean, like what you were saying with enforcing the laws, like, yeah, that is definitely one way to go about it, but that should also be coupled with and I don't know how to do this, but I mean, I was obviously the most recently in high school out of everybody here, and
way to rub that. She said that very
all you old people.
She has learned a lot from me because that was,
I can tell, like, Chris is really insecure about being old.
So. You're what, 22?
I'm 19.
Oh well, sorry.
Yeah,
Don't worry, I offered her a beer.
It's okay. I'm not a person in the eyes of a lot of people.
You're not
yet,
a person.
So I'm not allowed to be a person.
You're
yet.
Still a fetus.
Yeah.
Oh, just go to a libertarian meeting. You'll be the only girl there. You'll be fawned over.
No, I do go to libertarian. I'm a yal. Come on.
All right, so back to your point.
Okay. My point is, and this is again coming from my neck of the woods, being around teenagers, just the reading that I'm getting is that A, nobody cares. Shocking. B, nobody knows anything at all. The end. No,
but
really.
That's actually pretty normal for your age.
Okay,
I mean, at 19, yeah, most people aren't real political yet. They vote the way their parents do, or they believe what their parents do, but they don't know why.
Well, but it's not even so much that they have to know, like, oh, all these laws exist, or this is happening. It's the basic, the principles of the subject is that people believe in police, for instance. Like, people believe in government as an institution.
They believe in justice. And that's
not,
the...
I don't know, because
you know why? Because the hippies and everything else, and it goes down through generations. These past two generations are some of the first ones that have really known this big police state and grew up in it. And you know what the parents are saying? The parents aren't really passing on, hey, you know, that was different back in my day, because it wasn't really that much different. And it's, we can't do anything about it, so why? Why care? Why fight? Just go to work, go to your 9-to-5, get your 401k, you know, smoke a little pot on the side when you're younger, smoke a little pot when you're above 50, that's life, bam, done. Just retire when you're 65, suck money out of a company for a retirement pension plan, done. And that's what people have done. Everything's shrank down And what everyone's passed on to their kids is, we can't fight the system. The system's too big. So why not grow the system until it benefits us directly enough that we're okay with it and no longer have to fight it? Think of all the kids and everyone going to school and college and all the grants and the federally backed loans and everything else. These people couldn't survive without government.
I would say that, first of all, I was joking about there being no hope. Otherwise, we wouldn't do this. We wouldn't do what we do at work. You know, we wouldn't do this podcast if we weren't.
You wouldn't get on Facebook if you.
I wouldn't get on Facebook.
Oh, you said work.
But you go. You know, we're working with the advocates, and you know, it's an educational organization. This is somewhat educational. You know, I think there are people who are shut up, Maya. I think there are people who are listening who have thought, you know, maybe I felt what Suzanne outlined about being pulled over and being trapped, and maybe that should be extrapolated out to our whole view, is that we shouldn't let ourselves be trapped by false authority. And I think once you kind of educate people, I think people your age, I think part of it's just the age, because I know that I have friends, I'm 10 years older than you, and I have friends who have never been political in their lives, but then they sort of watch my Facebook page and I see people from high school that we went to high school together with, and they just start commenting and asking questions and interacting, and you go, you're a libertarian? Well, no, I just never thought about it like this. So I think you sort of grow out of it a little bit.
I thought that teenagers were supposed to be rebellious. Isn't that one of their stereotypes? And they think they're so cool, and they're like, hey dude, like, I got so drunk last night, or I smoke pot or whatever. And it is true that a lot of them think that they're cool because it's not allowed, so they think they're rebellious.
Easy rebellion, and they rebellion against immediate authority, parents, school, peers, and it's easy rebellion. But all those actual rebellious kids, when it starts getting hard, they either turn around or they get super depressed and keep going. But most people, they rebel the second they meet resistance. Bam, done.
I think though that our generation, the millennial generation, and like I'm on the very beginning of it and you're on the very end of it. I think the generation that's after us and our generation are so like coddled by our parents that the notion of rebelling against an authority is crazy because we get along with our parents. Millennials, I get along with the two guys I work with because they're baby boomers and I just get along with people of that generation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the nanny state.
Boom, roasted. So, all right, well, let's wrap up. I do like that we're having a discussion. You're like, you're very sensitive about your age, and then you're sipping chocolate milk.
Yeah, what is that you're drinking?
I'm not sensitive about my age.
You're like,
sensitive about yours. I love chocolate milk.
I'm a little kid. I'm going to drink my chocolate milk.
Why is it on a little weird box? Is it super healthy or something?
It's got fluoride Panera, in it. And they just had these boxes, and I was sad because I got pulled over and cops are assholes and I got myself chocolate milk and it came in this box.
See the plastics inside that are gonna make you gay. That's what Alex Jones told me.
No, Alex Jones said all the plastic in that and all the crazy stuff out there.
Juice boxes, milk.
Remember, according to Alex Jones and many of his followers and dumb people, hormone levels affect your sexual preference.
Right.
That's scientific fact to these morons. Yeah, there's no difference between sexuality and gender. No, not at all. No.
I'd like to point out that I don't think that Adam Kokesh was arrested by the government. I think he paid those people to arrest him, and this is a false flag operation.
Did you see what I posted today?
Boom, roasted.
And it's true, too.
What?
If Alex Jones said that the moon was hollow and was built by leprechauns, there'd be 100 videos on YouTube within a couple hours showing proof of it.
Oh, well, the tornado in Oklahoma was the result of the government seeding the clouds. Did you see that?
It was predicted on Family Guy the day before. Family Guy, within the opening 10 minutes, they had predicted tornado.
All right. Tornado.
Tortilla chips.
Tortilla, nah. All right. Final roundup. Final roundup here. Greg, what are we missing? What do you want to highlight that we didn't get to on the podcast because we rambled on too long?
No, I don't think we rambled on too long. I think we distinguished that we're very old and out of touch. So, I mean, I guess we'll just have to deal with that as we go on.
I know.
But, you know, there's nothing real big to watch out because everybody in the administration is stonewalling everyone. So you're not going to get answers Benghazi, the FBI targeted five people. That's going to lead nowhere. One, they'll have no jurisdiction, and I know they're not going to send in, like, black ops. So I don't think anything big's on the horizon, but I'm really interested. The one that interests me is AP, because AP is so much different than Fox News. And for them to target AP is a really, really big deal, and I think that is what will ultimately trigger the press backlash, and I think they'll just hammer Jay Carney going forward.
I know. That's really fun to watch those him fighting the press, because they've been so kind of light and gentle, and now they're like, why did you lie? Maya, roundup story.
Real quick, I'd like to point out the one of the few podcasts you haven't recorded. You have the possibly the best-looking guest ever on, and it's the one you didn't record. So just for everybody out there, she's wearing a tight undershirt, a flannel shirt, and leggings.
Are you talking about you? Or?
Oh, no. Oh, God, no, no. Oh, God. I don't want to scare people. That's why I never sit in front of the camera.
What you're saying is we finally have replaced Creighton with someone who is pretty, and we didn't record it on video.
Yeah, I mean, that would have gained you at least another 300-400 listeners.
I was trying to be succinct.
I'd like to point out that my article about the factual article I wrote...
Yeah, by the way, it wasn't creepy last night texting my intern to say, hey, you want to come over to my apartment tomorrow night at 6 p.m.?
The fact that she's here just makes her better than you.
Me and another guy are going to hang out. We're going to podcast. Like...
You're not that old that it's that creepy. You're not 50. You're single, living alone.
If I'm podcasting at 50, really.
You can't be too creepy because you're always wearing tie-dye.
That's true.
I mean, that instantly reduces the creep factor. Unless it has the Grateful Dead on it somewhere, you're good.
I'm fairly jolly. I mean, I pretty much don't have, I'm just sort of like that guy that, like, everybody wants to be your friend, and he'll never be able to punch me in the face, so it's cool. So... All right.
But back to what I was going to say, my article about the
right,
peaceful,
getting back to you.
Active march
back to me.
Adam Kokesane did better than Pfeiffer's negative one. I just want to say that
it's not true.
My positivity did better.
We had dueling Kokesh March articles on We Are Libertarians. It actually produced our biggest day ever in the analytics. You were pro-gun march, and Peffers was anti-gun march.
Well, mine was based on objective facts, and his was based on subjective opinion. So I think that might be why mine have more Facebook likes and shares. So, you know, I'm just going to point that out. And I'm going to also point out that I think this was the most anarchist-leaning episode ever. You guys completely didn't even once stand up for the idea of even a minimal government, a minarchist government. Not even a tiny bit stood up at all. And you basically all said government sucks at its very basis and core and can't be had. Period.
Because ultimately that's what I believe. It's just what's feasible right now.
Anything's possible if you just believe.
What has happened to you? Like you're complimenting new. You're complimenting new people.
I made a lot of Jell-O last night.
What kind of Jell-O? Did it have vodka in it?
No, I didn't eat any of it either. I made a lot of Jell-O and a lot of pudding, and making Jell-O and pudding for some reason put me in a really good mood. And I found out I'm selling 4 guns for up to $20,000. So go me.
All right, cool. We'll talk about what equipment we need after the podcast. Greg, you had a comment.
I was just going to say, the only reason why is there wasn't a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Otherwise, I'd go full bore, police state, start tearing down people again.
I'm really concerned. Maya is in a good mood. Maya's telling me to have hope and faith in humanity and complimenting the new girl.
Like, Chris, have you ever seen Rock Bottom? You just hit it.
All right, final story. What do you want to... And make sure you plug your blog.
Oh, okay. Well, my first comment is that I think that the Kokesh incident will only work to increase the amount of support for the rally. So if they were targeting him to try to deter that, they did a really bad job. Secondly, thank you for having me. It was very fun.
Thank you. You were great. You
Maybe
did a good
job.
You'll
let me come back sometime.
Maybe.
Yes. And the blog. He wants me to...
You are a good writer. You are a Tumblr aficionado.
I'm an avid user of Tumblr. I am an avid anarcho-capitalist user of Tumblr, if you would like to.
It means she will never force you to read her Tumblr.
Yeah, there's no pressure, but...
you do have to pay for it.
If you're interested, Anarchy and a Cup of Coffee.
Anarchy.tumblr.com. Anarchy and a Cup of Coffee.tumblr.com.
You sure you're not like 50? That sounds really like...
Yeah, that's kind of an old title.
I'm not going to say mature. I just said old.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember coming up with the title. I just know that it's there, and there's a coffee cup on my blog, and I've considered changing the name. But
just so we're clear, you're a Yahoo user, right?
See?
I mean,
okay.
If I had like whatever your name is at yahoo.com, I'd be like, wow, I am very much older than Chris and Greg and Maya.
Wait, do you use Yahoo?
Yes.
Well, she's telling. That got bought by Yahoo.
They just got. I'm 19.
I thought they got rid of Yahoo.
Do you still get those discs in the mail? Is that how you get online?
No.
When you get online, does it sound like this?
Yahoo. Yahoo
sucks, though. I don't like it.
I only have Yahoo because that's what my PayPal's tied to. So I got a question for you then. You say you're an anarcho-capitalist, an ANCAP. Why aren't you a voluntarist? Why do you got to be impure?
Impure? I don't think it's impure. What are you talking about?
I'm a voluntarist. That means I'm more pure than you.
You're one of those types of libertarians.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a libertarian.
Okay.
I'm
wow.
a voluntarian.
She picked you're a voluntarist.
Up 1 hour.
Picked up on this one real fast.
No, so you're an ANCAP, so you don't believe people should be allowed to work in collectives and as anarcho-communists or anarcho-socialists. You would not allow them to live in your society like they want to.
Okay. No, absolutely not. That's incorrect.
So you're a voluntarist.
Okay, well, I think I'm a voluntarist in the sense that, yes, you can do that. And I've talked about this. I'm not, like, you look like you think you're pushing me in some kind of corner.
No.
I've never claimed to say.
I'm making a point. You're self-identifying as an ANCAP when that's your personal philosophy, but your outward philosophy is voluntarism.
I think, I mean, clearly, ANCAP, there's no government, so it's not, nobody's going to be forced to do anything in that sense. So yeah, if you want to go have a commune out in Wyoming, I don't care. You go do that. My point in being an anarcho-capitalist is I believe in capitalism, and I think capitalism is the best method for a market and a society. So
it's
that's why
religion.
I want to advocate the anarcho-capitalism, but I'm not going to say that if you're going to peacefully in your own neck of the woods run a commune that there's anything wrong with that.
We have to have her back on and have more discussion over this because I just am absolutely going to beat her head with a cinder block.
Oh, but she agrees with you.
I don't know. We're not disagreeing.
What are you disagreeing about?
There's little tiny points I can
make.
There
are little tiny points. There are little tiny points.
0.01% of this that we disagree about, so I must hate her.
There's a lot more.
And it's all about...
It's all about voluntarism because Adam Koch has to.
Okay. Well, we can revisit this topic at a later time.
I know, because this has run excruciatingly long, and I have a choice. Should I just leave all the slow parts in or edit it?
Yes. Cut out the silences, because there are some ums and some long silences. There's some parts that you do need to cut.
I'm not getting done to all that. If I say
I'll edit it then. Send it to me. Fine. I'll edit it.
I want it to sound good, though.
Hour and a half.
I think
I'm going to cut out all the Kokesh stuff.
Don't my podcast sound... Wait, that was mainly me.
I know. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? I would like to close with the fact that you have seen proof positive that I have a wacky neighbor. That basically this podcast should be a sitcom because right in the middle of the podcast, as we start getting going, our wacky neighbor Maya just shows up magically, knocks on the door. Hey, neighbor. Can I come in? Hey, you want to talk about anarcho-capitalism versus voluntarianism? Let's not even get into mutualism, dick. So,
I do like philosophy, mutualism. Though. We should get into that.
Yes.
So, you have had... Do you know who James Neese is?
You keep bringing him up.
Because I'm obsessed with him.
I can tell.
He's like my little pet.
I'm sorry, but do not put her and James Neese in the same room.
Why?
Because
he oozes...
Why?
Date rape drugs from his fingers. I mean, I don't know how he does certain things, but it's like he can touch somebody and his breath is chloroform. I swear to God.
It's under the auspices of palm reading. He'll be like, let me tell you about, you're out, you're in the back of a trunk somewhere.
He is sort of like an episode of Grimm. He really is.
I don't have a problem calling people out on their though.
All right, well.
Oh, you.
You uppity kids. You'll learn to be defeated and tired like us someday. So, all right, well, this has clearly been an episode of We Are Libertarians. So, as always, we promise...
To do better next time.
But we cannot guarantee the results.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.